post-biblical literature was not clear about how all of this would occur. But one thing seems to be fairly obvious, that this resurrection of the dead does not appear to be an individual phenomenon, something that will happen to each and every person separately. But rather, they slowly begin to envisage a sort of a general resurrection of the dead, that in some future time, in some future point of time, this would be a national event where people would rise up. On the other hand, another staple of Jewish belief, and this was just as crucial, was the belief in the ongoing existence of the soul. That is to say, the soul does not perish with death. And this, as opposed to resurrection, appears to be understood on an individual basis. That is to say, each and every person has a soul, and upon that person's death, that soul is removed or is moved to a maybe some celestial courthouse, as it were, where it will be judged to either perdition or it will be judged to reward. But that's a personal issue. By medieval times, there were already disputes about the nature not only of what will happen to the soul, but also how that relates to resurrection. In other words, if the soul continues to exist, what will happen in the end? Will that soul then later be returned to the original body in resurrection? Or will bodies rise up with another soul? And indeed, some people accused philosophers such as Maimonides they accused him of denying the resurrection of the actual body. In other words, the claim was made, maybe this resurrection of the dead is a bit more spiritual than we originally imagined. The dead being, the dead souls would be resurrected and not the body. And it's interesting, there is a book that was attributed to Maimonides, and there was a major debate at one time whether it was or was not his, wherein he claims, no, I do believe that the body will actually rise up. The only problem was, he says there, but I believe that even the resurrected body would ultimately die as well. And on that again he was attacked for not having total faith in the resurrection of the dead. And we must remember that resurrection of the dead was a staple in Jewish belief that was recited three times a day at the beginning of the Amidah prayer. The central prayer of the Jewish liturgy stresses that God resurrects the dead. If we summarize what we've seen until now, there seems to have been a sequence of three stages. One we haven't discussed yet, and that is the stage of Messiah. But apparently the three stages are as follows. After a person's death, the first stage would be the afterlife of the personal soul of that person. This would be followed by a messianic era in this world, on earth. And we will discuss the messianic era momentarily. The third stage would be some sort of a general resurrection of the dead. So the personal level is the soul, the national level is the messianic era, and then the even more general phenomena of a resurrection, but clearly a miraculous phenomena, would be the resurrection of the dead, which is a futuristic imaginative idea that could not ensue in this world as we know it today. But we should focus on that middle stage, the messianic stage, because this idea of messianism would be one of the most important, one of the most vital ideas in the history of Judaism, clearly in the history of Christianity as well. The idea of a Messiah has wielded an enormous influence in Jewish history. But the nature of the belief was in constant flux. And there seems to be a tension between varying perceptions of the messianic phenomenon. Now, the word Messiah comes from the Hebrew word that means to anoint. And this already suggests or alludes to the monarchical aspect of the messianic figure, because kings of Israel were anointed. So when you call this messianic figure a Messiah, you are suggesting that he is monarchical. He is part of a dynastic leadership that once and in the future will exist.